Welcome to the Right to Reason Podcast. I am your host, Robert Stanley. Today, we are debating the COVID vaccine with Ben Fama Jr. and Clinton Gordon.
Hey, this is Ben Fama Jr. I'm a filmmaker, documentary filmmaker. Reasons to Believe is my film, A Virus Called Fear. You can check it out anywhere, including Amazon. My premise is that vaccines are not only safe, they are effective. And I think it's important for us to fight this pandemic knowing correct information.
All right, my name is Clinton Gordon. I'm an independent person who has no ties to anybody, but I do my own research. I have multiple sources to give people if they want to look me up on Facebook. My handle is Clinton Gordon. My opinion on vaccines through research and other people's scientific studies makes me and leads me to believe that vaccinations are not safe and they could be very dangerous for the public.
It's the Right to Reason Podcast.
You're making it sound like there's some nefarious thing going on here.
No, I'm not making it sound like anything. I'm just telling you that there is clearly a difference between FDA approval for the treatment and prevention of infection and transmission. I want anybody who's listening to this podcast right now to go to the CDC website.
You're trying to put me in a cage and say, oh, you have to do it the way that I'm doing it. Well, Clinton, the way you're doing it is wrong.
I would definitely not call you normal. No, sorry. Who's covering this?
You're buckshotting me. You're buckshotting me with information right now. Clinton, I'm asking you a straightforward question.
That's all I'm saying. I'm not really trying to get, I'd rather get back to information here.
That's fine. I'm going to ask you a straightforward question.
I don't care about why they don't have it available.
No. Clinton, I want to ask you a straightforward question and just give me the straightforward answer. Okay. Do you think that Bill Gates and the government are putting vaccines into us to control us?
There's no free people. Everybody's under the control of a one world government system, which oversees their own independent governments.
There's two options.
Listen,
what is
forget
happening
the website.
Here is
forget
that...
the website. Do you know about Event 201?
No, I don't know about
it. You don't know about Event 201. Right.
No. Microchips and people, like there's nothing.
I never said anything about microchips.
And that's fair. I'm not accusing
you. I never said that the vaccination will control you. I said that they are controlling people. I'm talking about forced and mandatory inoculation of a substance that you might not agree with.
Everything you just said right there, you have no evidence to support that.
Listen, everybody who's listening to this can
you have no evidence
online,
to support that.
Confident.
100%.
Look. Did you hear me the first time?
No, I'm just double checking.
Just triple check.
Triple check. You're 100% confident.
Oh my God.
Yes or no?
Listen.
Yes
I just
or
told
no?
You yes, five times.
You're 100%. You just said you're 100%. It's on record.
Anyway, so I'm gonna go on to my closing argument, man.
No. Hold on, and I'll let you
go
finish.
Ahead.
But
go
I'm
ahead.
Gonna fucking rebuke that argument right now. Fact right. check.
Oh yeah, sure. I see how you guys work, man. Two against one.
I've kept my mouth shut this whole time.
What's more important?
Freedom.
This episode of the Right to Reason podcast is brought to you by our patrons and contributors like me. We have all recognized the value of the unrestrained marketplace of ideas and have decided to make a difference. You can make a difference too. Contribute at patreon.com/right and learn more about your right to reason at therighttoreason.com. Your activism is appreciated.
You gotta find that inner strength and just pull that shit out of you and get that motivation to not give up and not give quit. No matter how bad you want it, just won't blast.
Ben Fama Jr., Clinton Gordon, how you doing today, gentlemen?
Hey, thank you for having us back.
Hey, what's up, man?
So I wanted to read you guys something. From Business Insider, it's the 9 huge government conspiracies that actually happened.
1.
The U.S. Department of the Treasury poisoned alcohol during Prohibition and people died.
2.
The U.S. Public Health Service lied about treating black men with syphilis for more than 40 years.
Facts.
3.
More than 100 million Americans received a polio vaccine contaminated with a potentially cancer-causing virus.
4.
Parts of the Gulf of Tonkin incident, which led to U.S. intervention in Vietnam, never happened.
Mm-hmm. I know that one.
5.
Military leaders reportedly planned terrorist attacks in the U.S. to drum up support for a war against Cuba.
Yeah.
6.
The government tested the effects of LSD on unwitting U.S. and Canadian citizens.
Now that would suck.
That was actually awesome, I thought.
Number 7.
Like, why are people complaining about that shit? Like, you got free fucking LSD, man. What the fuck are you complaining?
From a hooker.
Come on.
Seven.
In 1974, the CIA secretly resurfaced a sunken Soviet submarine with three nuclear-armed ballistic missiles.
Eight.
The U.S. government sold weapons to Iran, violating an embargo, and used the money to support Nicaraguan militants.
Iran-Contra affair.
Nine.
The public relations firm organized congressional testimony that propelled U.S. involvement in the Persian Gulf War. So there's a couple examples of real conspiracy theories. Things that we found out were true. Today you guys are going to be talking about vaccines and whether or not the government is trying to, how would you say it, Ben, trying to use vaccines to control us or something?
Well, actually, I'll let Clinton make the claim more, because obviously I'm going to be the person that debunked. I just want to say something really quick before we get started, though. Me and Clinton, we are not medical professionals, so I don't want Robert or anyone on the show to be held liable for any, you know, things. We're just giving you guys information here. We always recommend talking to a medical professional about any advice or anything that we're going from this point on. But Clinton, go ahead.
Fair point.
State the claim.
Basically, the bottom line is the safety of the vaccines and the lack of liability for the vaccine manufacturers worldwide.
Do you think that it's like a government conspiracy to manipulate our minds or give us tracking devices or anything like that?
When we get into talks about COVID vaccinations and vaccine IDs, travel passports, then that's kind of where that segues into. But there is a video going around online that's allegedly Bill Gates giving a speech to the CIA about the effects of a certain vaccine that can affect parts of the human brain that are associated with extremism and religion, but I can't confirm or deny its authenticity.
Actually, you know what? I think I'm going to play that video, Clinton. I'm going to edit it, so this isn't the whole thing, but you guys can check out Clinton Gordon's Facebook page if you want to see the whole thing, at least before he gets zucked. You're always getting zucked, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm in Zuckerberg jail, but I've been pretty good for like the last 30 days. I've been being a good boy, not posting anything like about Joe Biden too explicit, so
all right,
they've been granting me some grace.
Excuse me, on the left over here, we have individuals who are religious fundamentalists, religious fanatics, and this is the expression, RT-PCR, real-time PCR expression of the VMAT2 gene. Over here, we have individuals, let me complete. So over here, we have individuals who are not particularly fundamentalists, not particularly religious, and you can see there's a much reduced expression of this particular gene, the VMAT2 gene. And when they're read a religious text, what you see is that this part of the brain called the anterior insula lights up. This is a part of the brain that's associated with disgust or displeasure on hearing something.
So you're suggesting I take a CT scan with me when I'm evaluating people to determine whether I put a bullet in their head?
So the data that I'm presenting here supports the concept that we're proposing, and I think that we would not propose to do CT scans or fMRIs on individuals out in the hinterlands of Afghanistan. The virus would immunize against this VMAT2 gene, and that would have the effect that you see here, which is it's essentially to turn a fanatic into a normal person. And we think that will have major effects in the Middle East.
How would you suggest that this is going to be dispersed, the aerosol?
Well, so the present plan and the tests that we've done so far have used respiratory viruses, such as flu or rhinoviruses. And we believe that that's a satisfactory way to get the exposure of the largest part of the population. Most of us, of course, have been exposed to both of those viruses.
What's the name of this proposal?
Yeah, so the name of this project is FunVax, which is the vaccine for religious fundamentalism.
So I think the biggest problem with that video is that it was a mockumentary, and it had a Bill Gates impersonator in it, and it was actually a comedy. And the funny thing about it is that you even hear him talk about, it's called the FunVax for fundamentalists and vaccines. So the whole thing was actually a parody. They end up not releasing the full documentary, but they have the clips of the people. That's why the camera's back so far. It's actually a Bill Gates impersonator. If you really listen to it, it's actually he's being funny. It's a mockumentary style piece, but it is pretty funny when you listen to it because, you know, FunVax. So
the whole thing's fake. It was actually making fun of the very thing.
Exactly.
That's crazy. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
And where did you get that information?
If you actually look online, you can actually see the producers of the film and the people that made the film talked about it. And if you actually watch the whole entire video, you can actually tell that, first off, that's not Bill Gates. They never zoom in close to him. It's actually a Bill Gates impersonator. And then you actually hear towards the end where he's talking about, he calls it fun vax, you know, for fundamentalism and vaccines. He calls it a fun, he's actually doing a play on word. But the whole point of the documentary that they were supposed to be making was, it was supposed to be making fun of that kind of stuff.
So can, let me get this straight. This is a video from a documentary that they never released. So they made the video just to never release it. I'm just curious because it doesn't really make sense.
Yeah, I mean, that happens a lot. There's a lot of times when people will make films, but they either don't, you know, they can't complete it for many reasons. Actually, that's an interesting subject in itself. I'm not going to go into the full thing, but for all the movies that you see that are out there, there's probably three times the amount that don't get finished. They might be filming it and they don't get completed. So I don't know what happened with this film, to be honest with you. I don't know if it just didn't get funding or they didn't have completion. It's not unusual for films to not be finished, but they had the intention for releasing it, but obviously they didn't complete it. But it has been well known and documented that, you know, the producers and the people have come out and said this was part of a mockumentary. So,
Clinton, what
a documentary that was never released. Okay, yeah. I get it. All right.
What are what's some evidence that you would say you could present that would say that this vax for COVID is dangerous or potentially going to be used for tracking or what have you? Like what things are you seeing out there that are giving you some pause?
All right. Well, there's a lot of contradicting what you would call opinions from medical professionals all over the world right now. The problem is that due to internet censorship, you're not really going to hear about it much. My first argument here, I got some things I got from from Stephen F. Holtz, MD. He's an allergist and immunology specialist promoting vitamins. A little bit of a heads up: his health grade on his star level on healthgrades.com is a 2.5. And I noticed that when I looked at that 2.5 star level, all his negative, his negative comments or reports on his website, his website, but the Health Grades website, all come in a year or less. So basically, as soon as this guy starts speaking out against, not really against, but promoting more natural remedies for COVID vaccine, basically his career has started to be discredited and attacked. He's a 4-star on health.news.com. And also the FDA attacked him in December of 11, 2020, attacking his supplements and saying that they're not FDA approved for whatever and what forth. So anyway, long story, Stephen Holtz is an MD. He's a founder of CEO Holtz Health and Wellness Center in Houston, Texas. He states that the COVID vaccine is not a vaccine at all. It's a gene therapy. He says the definition of a vaccine is a product that stimulates a person's immune system to produce immunity to a specific disease. Immunity is a protection from a disease. A vaccine does not provide immunity, nor does it prevent the spread, which is talking about the COVID vaccination. He's saying that the definition of vaccine is to protect from a specific disease and to create immunity. But this new COVID vaccination doesn't even meet that standard, is his claim. He says it only lessens the symptoms if you were to become infected. He says labeling this gene therapy as a vaccine shields the manufacturer from lawsuits, which is a very big problem in my opinion. Warp Speed, December 11th, 22, the FDA approved Pfizer vaccine and Moderna a week later with no published animal studies and no long-term human studies. This basically means humans will be the guinea pigs. The doctor suggests that this gene therapy may pose a bigger threat than the virus even. To go in a little bit about Moderna, Moderna is a pharmaceutical and biotech company out of Cambridge, Massachusetts, founded in 2010 as Mode RNA. That's where you get the Moderna Therapeutics, experimental gene therapy using synthetic mRNA for the treatment of various diseases, including COVID. Over the last 10 years, Moderna has never successfully developed any product for the treatment of any disease prior to the COVID-19 vaccination. Synthetic mRNA gene therapy has never been attempted in human because of its failures in animal studies. The theory behind traditional vaccines is to inject a small amount of certain virus or bacteria protein into your body, which in turn will cause your immune system to produce antibodies to that infecting organism and provide immunity. The new vaccine is not a vaccine. It is a synthetic messenger ribonucleic acid called mRNA. Its experimental gene therapy works much differently than traditional vaccines. The theory behind this is when the synthetic mRNA is injected into your body, it inserts itself into your cells and now begins to produce the coronavirus spike protein, causing your body to produce antibodies. Your cells will now have synthetic mRNA imposed in them or impressed in them, and there's no way to tell how long your cells will produce these viral proteins or if they will ever stop producing these proteins. This could hypercharge your immune system by constantly producing viral spike protein, which will keep the immune system fighting the spike protein your own cells keep producing, and could overreact when exposed to any coronavirus in the future. This happened in animal testing in 2005 and again in 2012. The animals died from an immune system hyperreaction, or what's called an antibody enhancement reaction, when they were later exposed to the virus for which they had been vaccinated for. And then another point he made is that there's a major concern that the possibility the vaccine may make future infections even worse. There's a convincing argument that it may trigger an antibody-dependent enhancement reaction that increases the virus's ability to infect your own cells. In other words, you may have a worse reaction in the future when exposed to the virus than you would if you had not got the vaccine. You know, so there is a lot of doctors who are actually committing career suicide by speaking out against the vaccination. There's absolutely no profit to gain by speaking out against the medical establishment at this point. There's no motive behind it. So I don't understand why, you know, any doctor with many years experience and practices and they have success would lay it all on the line to lie about something. It doesn't make much sense to me.
Ben, what do you think? You think they might be lying?
Well, I have some questions first off here. You said that mRNA stands for what? Moderna? RNA?
No. When Moderna first came on the scene, it was mode RNA. That's where you get the name Moderna.
Oh, okay. All right. I just want to double check that here.
Yeah, so mode RNA is what they were established as, and then they got the name Moderna.
So can you explain to me simply, and you kind of talked about it, but can you explain to me exactly what an mRNA vaccine does?
Okay, so the mRNA is a synthetic ribonucleic acid that it merges with your cells, and then your cells produce what's called the spike protein that your body identifies as, you know, the COVID. So it'll produce the idea behind it is that the spike protein, which your body will produce when it takes the mRNA, your body will identify that as COVID and produce the antibodies to fight it.
Right. So if it's taking the genetic coding from a virus, but the virus is not being inserted into your system, okay, and it's taking those actual genetic sequences and saying, okay, look, these are the spikes. This is what the body, it's almost kind of like a wanted poster. That's one of the best analogies. It's just telling your body, hey, when you see this, you're going to create antibodies into doing that, right?
Well, what he's saying is that it's a perpetual production of the spike protein. We don't really know how long that spike protein production will last. It could last a lifetime. It could last a month. There's no way to tell at this point.
Hold on. So he's saying there's a perpetual based off of what?
No, he's saying there's a possibility of perpetual production.
Where's the possibility of a where's the possibility coming from?
From the vaccination.
Right. But what I'm saying, your immune system is kicking into gear. It's basically saying, look, I need to make these antibodies to attack a virus, correct? If you're saying there's going to be this nonstop replication of it, what is causing this nonstop replication to happen?
The mRNA, when it bonds with your DNA and your cells, the cells produce the spike protein.
So that's
what causes your body to produce the antibody.
Right. So you're saying the mRNA is what causes your body to overload itself with the antibodies, correct?
Right. That's basically the idea. Correct.
Okay. So if that's the case, how come they have to add an unjunked vaccine to the mRNA to boost the immunity to it? Because if you just inject an mRNA into your body in itself, your body will just destroy it. In fact, if it free floats within your body and your system, your body is going to flush it out. The problem is not with the mRNA. It's actually, the problem has been, and they've actually been doing this for, studying this for decades, is that once the gets into your system, your body actually goes and attacks it and gets rid of it. What they're trying to do is make it stable enough that it can get to the cell that it needs to get in order to replicate. So if it's not even strong enough to withstand the regular immunity in the system, how is the mRNA overactivating an immune system to create even more than it needs to, when even by itself alone, that it can't do that?
Well, where did you get this information at?
From actual scientific studies. When you actually look at the actual things that make up the mRNA vaccine, they have to use an adjunct vaccine to go with it in order for it to be a soluble solution, first off, to dissolve and to be able to make it stable. The biggest problem has been stability.
Right.
Because the immune system is just going to clear it out. If there's free-floating RNA in your system, it's just going to clear it out. So the problem is trying to make it alive enough, long enough, in order for it to get to the cell, in order to actually activate and replicate the spikes. So where is you getting the information that it's saying that it can overdo an overabundance of the antibodies?
Well, from multiple specialists on the issue are saying the same thing.
Right, but I don't see that in any published study. And if you go through published study, there's no indication that there's this going to be this. In fact, what's really amazing right now, and I don't think people realize what's actually really amazing, is this technology that we are developing with this vaccine. This is actually a revolutionary vaccine. I don't even think people even realize where we're at right now. This is like history making and what we're doing with this vaccine. We've actually been studying the mRNA messenger thing for, you know, decades now. But to be able to implement it to the way that we are doing now, it's actually revolutionary, because we no longer need to take a regular vaccine and say, oh, we need to hibernate it or grow it for 10 years, you know, then make it weaker and then put it into the body. We're actually saying, hey, we're going to take the messenger of that virus, bring it in, have your own cells replicate just that. So now the virus doesn't even have to be in your system for your body to fight it. It's basically saying, here are the parts. It's actually safer, it's more effective, and it's faster. But people think that this is being rushed. And I was like, no, they've been studying this for a long time. They were just able to apply it to this. Plus, they never had the entire world and the entire scientific community behind a vaccine to the extent that they've been able to do it now. And it's really amazing technology where we're at right now to do this. It's actually safer than most vaccines because you're not having to inject the virus in yourself. Does that make sense?
What you're saying makes sense, but it's a little bit deeper than what you're saying, in my opinion.
Okay. Well, explain to me what's deeper.
Okay, well, the fact that the CDC has held the patent on the coronavirus since 2013, they've been trying to make coronavirus vaccines for a long time. The problem is that when it hits the animal challenge study, they're getting to problems. So that's why they have been trying to you know, since the H1N1, SARS-2, whatever, baloney, you know, whatever. The SARS, the H1N1, they have been trying to make vaccines for these specific coronaviruses, and they have failed to do so up to this point. Now, with the world in a state of chaos and all this emergency power authorization, and might I add that the FDA has only approved an emergency authorization for this vaccine. It's not technically FDA approved for the treatment, like an official FDA approval. It's a slightly different approval. It's not like the hands down approval for the vaccine. It's an authorization in an emergency situation. So what I'm saying is that these products are being rushed through without normal protocol, without challenge studies, without challenge studies.
Okay, let's go one at a time. I want to bring up what you're bringing up with the emergency authorization, and this is from the FDA's website. And because a lot of people get confused, they think, well, it's rushed, it's not from the same standards. So I'm going to actually read this specifically from FDA.gov. What is an emergency use authorization, EUA? An emergency use authorization is a mechanism to facilitate the availability and use of medical countermeasures, including vaccines during public health emergencies, such as the current COVID-19 pandemic. Under an EUA, FDA may allow the use of unapproved medical products or unapproved uses of of approved medical products in an emergency to diagnose, treat, or prevent serious or life-threatening diseases or conditions when certain statutory criteria have been met, including that there are no adequate approved or available alternatives. Taking into consideration input from the FDA, manufacturers decide whether and when to submit AUA request to FDA. Now, here's the thing that people don't understand about this either, okay? It still has to meet a criteria. It still has to go through the trials. It still has to do it. And what people don't realize is that the reason why most vaccines take much longer is they actually have to bring like a vaccine, the disease from a regular vaccine. It takes about 10 years to make it not as powerful, to actually bring down its strength and potency. They didn't have to do that with this one. Plus with this, they overlapped a lot of the areas. So they went through the same trials, they went through the same processes, but they were able to overlap a lot of things. Plus there was a lot more funding. So they were able to do more in less time because of it. So people say it was rushed. In a sense, it was. People say that it was rushed, but it was actually just overlapping in time. Does that make sense? And an emergency use authorization has to follow the same criteria and standards. So we can negate that as being something that's saying that's not any more safe. It would still have to be safe. And other countries also have to evaluate whether or not this is a safe thing, not just in America. So the if there's this conspiracy happening, all these countries would have to be a part of it.
Correct. Correct. And the medical establishment is all connected. There is no, you know, borders when it comes to the medical establishment.
But they, every country does have certain standards in their own medical professions that they do. Right. And they're all not collaborating together to hide facts.
What did you just say? You said that there was no clear other alternative. So that came into play, too. Like, that's why they were more prone to, you know, give it the authorization, because it's a life or death situation. They're willing to take into account that there is no other alternative right now. So if they did have overlapping and overlapping data that was specifically proven to help the treatment, they could have given it the regular FDA authorization. But the fact of the matter is, they couldn't give it the regular FDA authorization, so they didn't.
Right, so but it still had to follow a criteria to
be
met.
That criteria is very vague. That criteria is not the same criteria as FDA approved for the prevention of infection and transmission. It's a different authorization. That's what I'm trying to tell you.
You're making it sound like there's some nefarious thing going on here. Because
no, I'm not making it sound like anything. I'm just telling you that there is clearly a difference between FDA approval for the treatment and prevention of infection and transmission than an FDA approval period. Like just an emergency authorization. It's an emergency situation. So they are allowing different standards to be used to get the authorization, which are not in line with an official FDA approved product.
Right, but the requirements for safety are the same. They're not budging. The clinical trials are the same. There's a lot of things that are still the same when it comes to the safety and efficacy of. They're not going to approve something if it wasn't safe when it came to something like this.
Okay, so I'll give you an example. For a vaccination to be approved by the FDA, it needs to go through a challenge study for animals. And then it has to go through a 2-year human trial study. So these two things were negated. So we don't have any data with an animal challenge study or a 2-year human trial. So that's the problem.
You don't think you're saying there was no animal study at all?
No animal challenge study for the COVID virus at all.
So they didn't even do it with monkeys?
Apparently there is no data on an animal challenge study for the coronavirus vaccine.
Including monkeys?
Animals.
Yeah.
I don't know if they test ferrets, I don't know if they test monkeys, but there's no animal challenge study available that you can produce that will show us the animal challenge study results.
But if they did test it on monkeys, that would be considered animals, and they did test it on monkeys, so wouldn't that be an animal?
A challenge study? Do you have that paper is what I'm asking you. Can you produce a challenge study results?
Okay.
I'm just asking, you're saying it exists, so do you have it in your possession?
At the moment, no, I don't. But okay. I can say all that right. There is. But let me circle back to what I was saying and the reason why I'm bringing it up for that reason. Okay.
Okay.
When you're talking about the safety and effectiveness of data, okay, I want to bring that up before we get to the animal study here. What safety and effectiveness data required to be submitted to FDA for EUA request for a vaccine intended to prevent COVID-19? COVID-19 vaccines are undergoing a rigorous development process that includes tens of thousands of study participants to generate the needed non-clinical, clinical, and manufacturing data. FDA will undertake a comprehensive evaluation of this information submitted by a vaccine manufacturer. For an EUA to be issued for a vaccine for which there is adequate manufacturing information to ensure quality and consistency, FDA must determine that the known and potential benefits outweigh the known and potential risks of the vaccine. An EUA request for a COVID-19 vaccine can be submitted to FDA based on a final analysis of a phase 3 clinical efficacy trial or interim analysis of such trial. So in other words, analysis performed before the planned end of the trial once the data have met the pre-specified success criteria for the study's primary efficacy endpoint. It met that criteria.
Where's the study? And also it said it has to outweigh the negative effects.
Yeah.
We don't have any negative effect studies to weigh it against. So there is, that tells you right there.
Okay, you just said right there, we don't have any negative effects test studies done. So
because
why don't
there was
we?
No, there was no challenge study done, and there was no 2-year human trial study done to show the positive or negative effects of the vaccine in a challenge study or a human trial. So what are you weighing it against? How is that possible that they can weigh something against nothing?
But nothing came up in any of the trials. There was nothing that showed the risk of the vaccine anywhere in any of the trials.
I know nothing came up in the trials because there were no trials. There was a short few week trial in people, and that was it.
Now
everybody is lining up to get a vaccine that we don't even know what the long term effects.
What do you mean that there was no trials?
Where's the trials? There is no trials. There's no date. Where's your data sheet on the challenge study or the human trial? There is no human trial.
Are you kidding?
Do you have it?
There was over 10,000 people in these studies. They went through clinical trials. Like all these companies are doing that. Yes, I do. Actually, I do. I do have it. And you go to the FDA and actually see the trial. These are all published online. Yes.
Okay. Because I just went on the CDC website and I looked up, vaccine injuries. And they're not giving you any numbers on the COVID vaccination injuries. Or there's zero numbers on the CDC website to tell you, hey, this many people had this reaction. This many people had this adverse reaction. It is not on the CDC website anywhere. So you would think that if a product that has to be protected from being liable for their product, and there's an actual fund set up for adverse reactions for people, that they would actually say, hey, this many people had an adverse reaction and it could happen to you. But there is no available evidence on the CDC website, and that's on purpose.
But you said that there was no trials.
There is no challenge studies done on this product.
Well, no, but you said there was no trials. You said there was no clinical actual studies when there was 10,000 of them done. So why wasn't anything found out then?
When I'm telling you trials, I mean animal challenge studies. That's one trial that hasn't happened. And long-term, two-year human studies. That's the two trials I'm talking about not being done. And those are the normal requirements for the FDA to approve a vaccination. Okay, when I say the trials haven't been done, I mean those two specific trials that are required by the FDA to get an FDA approval.
So you're saying they didn't do any of those animal challenge studies at all?
Correct.
Okay. Give me a second.
And as a matter of fact, the challenge studies that have been done with prior vaccinations that are trying to be the COVID vaccine, they have come out very negative results. And that's why we haven't seen this coronavirus vaccine produced up until now because of those prior animal challenge studies that produced negative results.
Right, but they didn't come up with any negative results in the studies themselves, first off. Okay, so first off, this is where I'm guessing I'm confused. Where you're saying they should have just came up with something and exposed something and shown something that wasn't even there when they came up with the studies.
What are you talking about? You confused me with that one.
Okay. You said there was no actual effects being published by the CDC, right?
Yeah. If you go on a CDC website and you look up adverse reactions to coronavirus vaccine, you will find nothing.
Right. Because they didn't find anything.
Are you crazy? Why do they have to have a whole fund set up for people who get adverse reactions?
Because they've always had funds for people with vaccines. That's just part of it.
Listen. There's so many adverse reactions to vaccinations that the government has to protect the vaccine manufacturer. Now that takes all liability from the vaccine manufacturer. They are free and clear of any liable lawsuits against them for the negative and adverse reactions from theirs. So there's definitely a reason for that. And it's amazing.
The reason is so we don't end up jumping all these lawsuits on a pharmaceutical company.
If they were not protected.
No. You're wrong. You're wrong. What they're doing is protecting the liability because it would cost the government even more money if the liability was onto the companies. They already create a fund for the vaccines. The only thing the vaccine companies are responsible for, which Anthony Scalia himself proposed for. Okay, so you're going to say that he's some cover up in this conspiracy too? He proposed that unless they do something that is affected or done wrong with the manufacturing itself, they're not going to be held cut. So you can't just say, oh, everyone is just be held liable when everyone has a different response to it. It's not the fault of the manufacturer for things that it wasn't their fault. If they made the vaccine correctly and it passed all the studies, you're never going to have 100% safe of anything. You get into your car, accidents fucking happen, but people will bring lawsuits. That cost would go to the government. So the government decided we're going to create a fund for those instances when it comes to that. Things do happen and it's very, 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 very small. But to say that there's this big government conspiracy when Anthony Scalia even agreed with that process.
I'm not talking about the I'm saying that why is the process needed? Because the vaccines are not always safe.
But it's, nothing is ever safe. There's nothing.
There's definitely adverse reactions.
They're very minimal.
They're minimal. What do you know? They're published.
They're super minimal. The vaccines are so safe. They are super minimal. You're more likely to die in a car accident.
Let me talk because I let you go for a couple minutes. You cannot go on the CDC website and find out how many people have had an adverse reaction to this COVID vaccination. Now, that should tell you something.
What does it tell me?
It tells you that they do not want to tell you. And you know what I mean? So this, why wouldn't they tell people, hey, this is your risk. This is how many people got vaccinated. This is how many people had this adverse reaction. This is how many people had that adverse reaction. And this is your chances of having an adverse reaction. They should tell you that, but they don't, because they do not want you to know what your risk is of having an adverse reaction. And that's clearly what they're
doing. Why don't they want you to know?
Why don't they want you to know? So that way you'll get the vaccination.
So that's why.
So
this is what you're saying. They're lying to us and they're hiding something from us.
I'm telling you that if you go on a CDC website right now and see what your chances of having an adverse reaction to the COVID vaccination, you will find nothing.
You're saying that they're lying to us.
I'm telling you they're not telling you. I'm asking you
why are they not telling us?
You make up your own mind on that. You're the one making the claim. That's my claim. My claim is that if you go to the CDC website and try to find out what your chances of having an adverse reaction are, you will find nothing.
But Clinton,
that's my only point. Clinton. I don't have a motive behind it. That's my only point. I'm telling you that you cannot go on CDC website and make an educated decision for yourself, weigh the risk and weigh the reward using their data, because they do not provide it.
Clinton, if I can jump in, I think what Ben is asking is, what is the reason for this? If you can speculate to that, why would they do that? Other than, I mean, obviously they want you to get the vaccine. I get that, but he's asking like a broader question of what's the conspiracy here?
The conspiracy, there is no conspiracy. I'm just telling you that if you want to go and find out what your risks are of having an adverse reaction, you won't find the information. Why they would do that, I can only expect or, you know, guess that the adverse reactions are enough to sway somebody from not wanting to get the vaccination. If you just watched the presidential speech the other day, it was mainly about everybody getting a vaccination so that way we will allow you to gather in small groups with your family on Independence Day. If you listen to us and take the vaccination and we all work together to take this vaccination, that we won't tell you what your chances of having an adverse reaction are. If you do that and you trust us and you obey us, we will let you celebrate Independence Day in small groups.
Okay.
That's where it's going.
I just let you hang yourself with your own rope for like a while right now. Yeah. I was actually questioning why you think that there was no information about this stuff.
Go ahead.
All right. Yeah. First off, they have reported selected adverse reactions. Okay. This is why I wanted you to clearly have your point and let you express it without me debating it. But they have talked about it because they talked about soreness. They talked about headaches. They talked about rashes. In fact, on the CDC website, Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, there's a page that says selected adverse events reported after COVID-19 vaccinations. What you need to know, COVID-19 vaccines are safe and effective. Millions of people in the United States have received COVID vaccines. Reports of anaphylaxis and death. Anaphylaxis after COVID-19 vaccinations are rare. If this occurs, vaccination providers can effectively and immediately treat the reaction. There is a whole page here of reports after death of COVID-19 vaccinations.
How many people? How many people died? How many people have had adverse reactions out of how many people? Okay. What are the chances of having an adverse reaction?
Okay, let me finish so I can tell you. Over 19 million doses of COVID-19 vaccines were administered in the United States from December 14, 2020 through March 8, 2021. During that time, VAERS received 1,637 reports of death. That's 0.0018% among people who received COVID-19 vaccines.
Okay, I was looking for that page last night. I could not find it.
Okay, but Clint, this is what I'm trying to get at here, bro. Okay.
Yeah.
You were so confident in your position. You were so determined to say, oh, they're hiding something. And I even asked you, like, what's the reason they would be hiding it? You were so confident in what you were actually saying the entire time.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
And I just provided you the information on the CDC website.
Well, I went to the CDC website last night and they were not giving that information clearly. You must have, I don't know what section you looked at, but I could go on right now and type in adverse reactions to COVID vaccination on the CDC website, and nothing was coming up for me because I specifically went there last night to see, hey, well, what is the reaction? What are the chances? Because I wanted to know that when I came into this debate. But when I went to the CDC website last night and I typed in COVID-19 vaccine adverse reactions, nothing was coming up.
Okay.
So but, I don't know what to tell you.
I don't know what you were doing and how you're doing it. I'm just telling you this is what the facts are. And this is the problem that I think a lot of people are having in society, is that there's a lot of people confident in their belief about vaccines. And there's so much information that disproves it, but people aren't, they're not really learning the facts. They're just coming off of assumptions off of really bad sources. And this is the problem that I run into over and over when it comes to this stuff. The facts matter to this. And I'm sorry you couldn't find it, but it was still there and it existed. And you were confident in that position. And I allowed you to speak it through. And I asked you, why would they do this? And you said, oh, they're trying to hide it. But they're not. And and every time you and me have debated about this kind of stuff.
I want anybody who's listening to this podcast right now to go to the CDC website, type in COVID-19 vaccination adverse reactions, and see what you come up with.
Okay, but I also want them to go and find selected adverse events reported after COVID-19 vaccination. It was updated March 9th, 2021.
I understand that. But on the CDC website, on a simple CDC website search, I want the people to see if they are providing that information to the public freely and fairly. Because that's what I did last night. I went on the CDC website, looked up COVID-19 adverse reactions, and nothing was coming up.
But you agree that it is on the website, correct?
I haven't seen it, but I will agree and trust that you are telling the truth, yes. Okay. So anyway, your point is proven with that. But what I'm trying to tell people is that there's definitely a risk, 100% a risk. And these risks are being not so much reported on. Like, you know what I'm saying?
You just said that about the last claim, though. Oh, it wasn't being reported on.
What I'm saying is, where are the reports on the adverse reactions letting people know what their chances of having one are? But they'll tell you, okay, this is your chance of dying of COVID. Oh my God, you're gonna die of COVID. This many people out of this many people die. They're promoting that, but they're not telling anybody willingly, out in the open, this is how many people have had an adverse reaction. You might have to dig and find the exact straight website to type into your search bar. But if you type it in the regular search bar, the CDC website, I was coming up with nothing.
Okay, so why is that I'm able to find it and you can't?
I just did a simple search on CDC. Did you?
But bro, you need to do more than simple searching.
Did you go to the CDC website, type in adverse reactions?
Clinton, this is the problem. No, simple I'm searching not, is not research. Tell me,
did you go to the CDC website, type in COVID-19 vaccination reactions?
Why does that even matter?
Because that's what most people are going to do.
I didn't. What are you talking about? Most people. I didn't. And I still found it. You're trying to put me in a cage and say, oh, you have to do it the way that I'm doing it. Well, Clinton, the way you're doing it is wrong. That's what I'm trying to get at, bro. I've been arguing with you over and over about this stuff.
The way I did it was the way 90% of the people in the
population. 90% who? Who?
They will go on the CDC website.
Show me the evidence for your claim 90% of the people do it your way.
They will go on the CDC website. They will type in COVID vaccination adverse reactions.
How do you know?
CDC website tells them.
How do you know that 90% of the people out there are going to do it the way that you did it?
That's my guess. I don't have.
Okay, but that's the problem. Is you're making uneducated guesses with information you don't know.
To this report, anybody who's listening to this podcast, guarantee you, majority of them will go on the CDC website. Type in COVID-19 vaccination adverse reactions, and I want them to see what comes up.
Guaranteed? Like, you guarantee 90% of the public would do exactly what you said?
What else would they do? We're going to go to the specialists. We're going to go to the science. We're going to go to the people who say this is what it is, and we're going to ask them what is the information, and they're going to go by what information they are given from the CDC, which is the holy grail of this whole situation.
No, they're not, because I didn't.
You didn't, but most people that are normal people are going to go to the CDC website and try to find information.
So I'm not normal?
I would definitely not call you normal. No, sorry. I'm teasing you. But what I'm trying to say is, if you go to the CDC website, type in the search bar, COVID vaccination, adverse reactions, see what you come up with. See if they show you what Ben is talking about right now. Because Clinton, I guarantee you, they're not going to come up with what he just gave you.
Clinton, let me tell you what's actually going on here. All right. And you and me talk about this a lot on Facebook already. But I mean, the audience doesn't really know. I mean, me and Clinton kind of go back and forth all the time, you know. And I like Clinton as a person. I think he's a really cool guy. I just think you're fundamentally wrong about stuff, because I see the information and where you get your information. And I believe you're being misled down a wrong road. And I just think the fault is the information that you're getting your sources from.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
The vaccine injury compensation program, is the COVID vaccination going to be covered by that?
I imagine so. I mean, I don't know. You know, but that information is out there if people want to look at it. At the moment, I honestly don't know.
Okay. Well, at the moment, I know. Okay. and it's not going to be covered by that program, because the vaccine injury compensation program for vaccine to be covered, the CDC must recommend the category of vaccine for routine administration to children or pregnant women, and it must be subject to an exercise tax by federal law. COVID vaccines are not meeting this criteria and are not listed under the covered vaccinations on the vaccine injury compensation program. So let me ask you a question. If the vaccine injury compensation program doesn't cover people for adverse reactions, and the government is not forcing the manufacturers of the vaccine to be covered, who is covering this?
Okay,
who's covering this experimental?
You're buckshotting me with information right now. I have to look into what you're saying, and I don't know if what you're saying is even true. Okay, I don't know.
I'm telling you it's true.
How do you know that it's true?
Because I just went on the website last night and did the research. Anybody
what
else
website?
Going through the research themselves?
What website?
DICP. It's the Vaccination Injury Compensation Program.
And it said that...
And it will tell you all... It'll has a list of all the vaccines that are covered and all the ones that are not covered.
And it says non-seasonal
flu vaccines are not covered. The pneumococcal polysaccharide, or PPSV, PPV, is not covered. The zoster shingles, the shingles vaccine, that's not covered. So all these other vaccinations are not covered.
Okay.
And let me tell you something.
So you're saying the coronavirus vaccine is not being covered, correct?
Huh?
You're saying the coronavirus vaccine is not being covered.
It's not listed under covered in vaccinations. Nope.
Okay, well, I'll have to actually look into that. But I don't know either way, and I have to trust that I got to research that information because I don't know. But even if that was the case, Clinton, what's the bottom line?
The bottom line is
trying to hide something from us and that they're trying to control us?
Listen, I'm telling you that I went to the CDC website. I typed in COVID vaccination, adverse reaction. I got nothing.
Okay, Clint, right, I'm asking you a straightforward question.
That's all I'm saying. I'm not really trying to get back to information here.
That's fine. I'm going to ask you a straightforward question.
I don't really care about why they don't have it available.
No. Clint, I want to ask you a straightforward question and just give me the straightforward answer, okay? Do you think that Bill Gates and the government are putting vaccines into us to control us?
I think by taking the vaccine, you are submitting to control because they are telling us, hey, if you don't get the vaccination, like in Israel right now, what's going on in Israel right now? You can't be a part of society unless you take the vaccination. So do I think that they're putting the vaccine in us to control us is irrelevant to me. The fact that they are keeping us separate from society unless we get the vaccine, that's where the control comes in.
So you think just like
mask mandate, oh, you can't go into a store, you can't fly, like the next step in this evolutionary process will be COVID vaccination tags or IDs or passports, which is being spoken about in New York right now. They're talking about COVID vaccinations passes to travel. So I'm just saying this is where this is going, and this is the things that they're talking about doing with this.
How to control us to do what? Like, what's the end game of this control?
Government control, basically.
To do what?
To control the population.
To do what? Why? To control them to do what?
Whatever they want them to do, be in submission of. So there's no free people. Everybody's under the control of a one world government system, which oversees their own independent governments, because the COVID vaccination is a worldwide thing. The COVID restrictions, they're a worldwide thing. You know, so it's just like that. If you look up Event 201, dude, Event 201 was hosted October 18, 2019. The John Hopkins Center for Health and Security, in partnership with the World Economic Forum and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, held Event 201. It was a high-level pandemic and exercise in New York. Prominent individuals from global businesses, government, and public health officials were to exercise players tasked with leading the policy in response to a fictional outbreak scenario that apparently wasn't so fictional. The exercise illustrated areas where public and private partnership will be necessary during the response to a severe pandemic, with the purpose of diminishing large-scale economic and societal consequences. This exercise simulated an outbreak of a novel zoonotic coronavirus transmitted from bats to pig to people, and eventually becomes efficiently transmissible from person to person, leading to a severe pandemic. And 2 months later, we got COVID-19.
Where did you get that information?
From the website of the Event 201. You go to Event 201, Google it, it'll take you to their official website.
And you consider them a credible website?
It's the 201 website. It's the Event 201 website.
Right. And that's so I'm really, just asking.
What I'm trying to tell you too.
No, wait. I need to know. Do you consider that a credible website?
I consider the official Event 201 website a credible website. Yes.
Okay. So answer me this then: if you think that that's a credible scenario and that's a credible actual website, then there's when two options. Listen, what is happening here?
Forget the website. Do you know about Event 201?
No, I don't know about it.
You don't know about Event 201. Right. No. You do not know about it. But this actually happened.
It doesn't matter that I don't know.
They got a bunch of...
Because I'm asking you a question right now. Do you think... What's the most likely case scenario? That Bill and Melinda Gates are trying to find some tactical way to spend their money and their billions of dollars to control an entire populational environment for some unknown control scenario to help the government... Or that it's possibly that they're trying to use their money, like they've done many times, to help a lot of organizations to try to help combat things like disease and poverty and economic strife and stuff like that. Which one's more likely?
Listen, I don't care about any of what you just said. Let's talk about real facts. The fact is that the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation partnered to hold an event, which was an exercise that simulated exactly what happened to the world 2 months before it all happened. And they got together with World Banking, they got World Health, and all these organizations come together to get ready for what that was about to happen, all right? So if you want to look like, oh, I don't know, well, why this, why that? Why? Forget that, why? This is what happened. Event 201 was the prep for what exactly happened with the coronavirus and the lockdowns.
Okay, so let's go to Event 201. We see centerforhealthsecurity.org, the John Hopkins Center for Health Security in partnership with the World Economic Forum and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation hosted Event 201, a high-level pandemic exercise on October 18, 2019 in New York. The exercise illustrated areas where public-private partnerships will be necessary during the response to a severe pandemic in order to diminish large-scale economic and societal consequences. What's the problem with that?
The problem is that it happened 2 months coincidentally before everything that they just exercised actually happened.
2 months? October 18, 2019?
Yeah, in the beginning of the next year, right? When did the first case of coronavirus come out? January?
Well, technically,
October,
yeah. Okay,
November, so, December. 3 months, my bad. 3 months before.
Okay, I'll be fair about that.
Three months before the first case and all the hysteria started. I apologize.
Okay, so, and no, I'm giving you the benefit of doubt here. So, what's the problem with them having a pandemic exercise? Where is it that they said they're mentioning coronavirus or, I mean, because, you know, Bill and Melinda Gates have been talking about pandemics for years, 5 years, six. I mean, they've been talking about it for a very long time.
Yeah.
So what's the difference between this event versus any other time they've ever talked about it?
Because they talking about it and actually bringing leaders and people from all over the world to get together and formulate a plan for a response that actually happened 3 months later is just very suspicious to me.
That's what I'm trying to get at. What is suspicious about it?
The fact that exactly what they were talking about happened 3 months later and they were preparing for it, which they were obviously preparing for something that they knew was going to happen.
Well, it says here that they modeled a fictional corona pandemic, but explicitly stated it was not a prediction. Instead, the exercise served to highlight preparedness and response challenges that would likely arise in the severe pandemic.
Right. It wasn't a prediction, but it just happened to be a fictional situation that wasn't fictional.
Okay. But I hear the same thing when 9/11 happened, and I don't want to talk about 9/11 in this podcast, but people said, well, because there was training exercises, that because there was preparedness, all of a sudden that automatically means that correlation is causation on that. So what is it about being prepared for a pandemic and talking about it that makes it nefarious?
I never said anything about being nefarious. I'm just telling you that they are working together with world organizations. They brought everybody together 2 months, 3 months, my apologies, 3 months to discuss the lockdown restrictions that would be necessary, the travel ban that would be necessary, and all these things that actually happened 3 months later. And then they actually did all the restrictions and all the travel bans and everything that went along with their exercise.
But these type of things happen all the time. It's funny because people look into coincidence and they say, oh, A must mean that B is happening. But what is it about A? What is it about this event that triggers off your suspicion? Is it just because it's 3 months before a pandemic happened? Because they didn't say the actual coronavirus. They were talking about coronaviruses in general and just preparations as far. And I'm going to look into this even more today, but it looks like from everything here, there's nothing here that was nefarious or how to control people or how to, you know, put microchips in people. Like there's nothing.
I never said anything about microchips.
And that's fair. I'm not accusing you.
I never said that the vaccination will control you. I said that they are controlling people by limiting their able to be in society unless you get the vaccination.
But you haven't demonstrated how they're controlling and how the vaccine is going to be able to do that and what they're controlling for.
Vaccine and passports and vaccine registrations.
So where am I getting a vaccine passport from?
I'm just telling you what they've been talking about in places like New York and that they've already implemented in places like Israel.
And if they did have a vaccine passport, is that a form of control?
Yes, because you would have to have the vaccination to have the passport and you wouldn't be able to travel without it. So that is controlling you. They're controlling you by making you put a foreign substance in your body. Yes.
Is it a form of control if we need passports to go to another country?
That's like comparing apples to oranges.
Why?
Because you're trying to say something that, oh, this, they're both fruits, but it's not the same thing.
Why?
When you need an ID to drive a car, you need an ID to buy cigarettes. It's all the same thing. But this is not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about general IDs. I'm talking about forced and mandatory inoculation of a substance that you might not agree with. So that then brings into health liberties, religious liberties, medical liberties. Yeah. So maybe I don't want to trust somebody that I don't know with a substance I don't know to put into my body for effects that I don't know. And the CDC doesn't clearly state it on their website when you type in adverse reactions for COVID-19. I don't want to get it. But if I have to get it to travel, then people will probably just say, oh, let's do it, because if not, we can't travel.
But we do so many other things that they can control us with. Why are you paranoid about vaccines versus your phone? I mean,
your phone
tracks you everywhere you go. You're more likely to have your credit card and your phone and all these other devices that you have tracking you, controlling you, whatever else, way far likely than a vaccine. So why are vaccines worse than that?
Because I'm actually putting a foreign substance into my body.
So you put foreign substances in your body all the time.
That I choose. I choose what to put in my body.
Right, but you haven't given me the evidence that choice is detrimental to your health, that it's unsafe.
You haven't proven
any of the claims that you're saying about control.
I don't have to prove that they're trying to control you by giving you vaccinations, because that's not what I said. I said that they're trying to force people to get the vaccination, and that in itself is a form of control.
Control is such a loaded word. Like, literally, it's just a load. You're just saying, oh, it's control. There's many systems that we have to protect ourselves from health, from defense threats, whatever else. This imaginary control word just being thrown around, or freedom, is just this arbitrary word that just out there that's like, oh, it's about freedom. And has nothing to do with that. It has to do with public health safety. What's more important?
Freedom.
Freedom. That's the problem.
Freedom. Because, listen, this is the first time in the history of the world where we have quarantined healthy people. Like,
no,
healthy people are being quarantined.
No, it's not. We did it in the Spanish flu pandemic.
Healthy people are getting quarantined for not being sick.
Well, like, they were being quarantined. Quarantine is nothing new to the human species. In the Spanish flu. So you're saying that nobody was quarantined in the Spanish flu?
Listen, I'm telling you, this is the first time in my lifetime. I'll put it like that. In my lifetime.
In your lifetime.
Yes, since I've been alive, that I've ever seen anybody. I mean, I was alive in H1N1. I even survived H1N1. I didn't get quarantined. I got quarantined because I was sick.
Because it wasn't as big of an outbreak as this pandemic.
I wish we had more time. But anyway, this pandemic outbreak has been a complete farce as far as the positive test, because if you look at the CDC, not the CDC, but the PCR test, when they were running it at 37 and 40 cycles, there's many, many, many publications that people are saying that this was coming up with false positives. Hence, January 13th of this year, the CDC sent out a letter suggesting that anybody giving the test drop the cycles from 37 to 40 to 20. And immediately thereafter, we start to see cases and deaths drop, because when they were testing people, they were coming up with cold virus, old dead RNA, and everything like that. So this big pandemic was a bunch of false positives, because the CDC even itself admits that 40 cycles was too high. 40 cycles was way too high, and they dropped it down to 20, and now it's a sharp decline.
Everything you just said right there, you have no evidence to support that.
Listen, everybody who's listening to this can
have no evidence
online
to support that.
Listen, everybody who's listening to what I just said, look up January 13th and the CDC recommendation for PCR cycles, and you will see what the internet will come up with. They clearly said that they dropped the amount of cycles down to people who are given tests. All right, there's multiple. I mean, this is easy search stuff. Look up the 40 cycles for the PCR test coming up with false positives. Type that up. It will. You'll have multiple articles stating from professionals that saying that, hey, 40 cycles was way too high. 40 cycles was way too high. And then in January 13th, which I think was like right after Biden was elected, they dropped the cycles from 37 or 40 down to 20. And immediately thereafter, all the cases and all the deaths started dropping because you had no more false positives. You can look that up yourself.
So you don't you're have saying to that there's an inflated false positive.
Inflated false positive. That's an easy one to search on the internet.
And you're confident about that.
Confident.
100%.
Look, did you hear me the first time?
No, I'm just double checking.
Just triple check.
Triple check. You're 100% confident.
Oh my God.
Yes or no?
Listen.
Yes I just or no, Clinton?
Yes, 5 times.
You're 100%. You just said you're 100%. It's on record.
Anyway, right? So I'm gonna go on to my closing argument, man.
No. Hold on, and I'll let you finish. But I'm gonna fucking rebuke that argument right now. Fact right, check from Reuters.
Reuters fact check. Oh, so you're gonna use fact checkers to fact check something? Who fact checks the fact checkers? Nobody.
Are you serious? Okay, let me finish.
Yeah, go ahead and finish.
Unfucking believable. Who released guidance on proper use of tests? It did not admit PCR tests showed inflated infectious numbers.
That's what you got.
That's the headline.
That's what you got.
Yeah. In response to the claims, the current cycle was much too high, resulting in a particle being declared a positive case. Apart from completely being wrong, this comment acts as an exit indicator of a person with no understanding of PCR, the design of PCR tests, or the high thorough use of PCR processes to test human samples in a quality pathology laboratory setting. PCR stands for polymerase chain reaction, a process used to amplify DNA, and is run a certain number of times to detect the virus. McKay discusses the process in detail here, explaining that to detect an otherwise small amount of viral DNA, laboratory professionals run 40 to 50 cycles PCR, which may vary by laboratory and testing kit. McKay explained that reducing the cycle would change almost nothing. A high majority of results would remain positive, and those tests for the virus would still be counted as cases. This is because most PCR results don't fall at or above 40 cycles, the usually endpoint of a real-time PCR. If anyone wants to read this entire article, type in fact check who released guidance on proper uses of tests. It did not admit PCR tests showed inflated infection numbers. You were 100% confident.
Listen, I didn't say that they admitted anything. I said that the WHO had on January 13th, the cycles lowered from 37 to 40 down to 20. And if you want to look up the actual WHO article, it's www.int/news/item/20-01-2021-WHO-information. And that should be enough to get you the actual release from the World Health Organization on January 13th, where they lowered the cycles because the other. How about this? I'm not telling you
Clinton,
why they lowered the cycles, but they lowered the.
You said that
they
it was inflated numbers. You said that. I asked you specifically.
I'm telling you, there's articles, easy articles to find on the internet that state that the 40 cycle threshold is way too high, and shortly thereafter, the release was to lower them.
You said you said that there was inflated infection numbers.
I said that you can easily find the reports about how a 40 cycle PCR test.
You can easily find a lot of shit on the internet, Clinton. Listen, it doesn't mean it's correct.
Listen, it doesn't mean because Reuters said anything that is correct either. Reuters, whatever. It doesn't
really?
Mean it's because
so they use fact checkers in science and they talk to actual scientists and people here talking about the actual thing, but they don't know what they're talking about?
I'm telling you, not all fact checkers are right. That's right. I'm going to tell you
which ones are right then.
I'm going to tell you that sometimes
fact checkers are right.
I'm going to tell you this. Sometimes fact checkers are incorrect.
Okay, which ones are
and
which ones are? How do you know if a fact is correct?
How about this? Listen, the bottom line is January 13th, the World Health Organization, for whatever reason, dropped the suggested amount of PCR cycles from a threshold of 37 to 40 down to 20. For whatever reason, they did that, and it does not admit that 40 cycles causes a false positive, but there is definitely some reason why they suggested that the threshold be lowered from 37 to 40 cycles down to 20. And in correspondence with that announcement from the World Health Organization, we can clearly see through many, many, many data charts the sharp decline in cases and in deaths.
And real quick, Ben, after you respond to that, Clinton, if you don't mind just giving us your quick closing, and then Ben, you'll go ahead and take us out.
I'm just going to say that that's absolutely false in your premise in saying that there was inflated numbers. And I've already demonstrated it. And I've demonstrated over and over in this podcast today. But if we can't even agree on facts, how do we know? How do you know that you know what you're talking about? How do you determine a fact?
Yeah, he was asking you to answer that, and then if with that answer, okay, you want to maybe close, and then my plan was for, since you got to start, Ben would close us out after you did yours.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, I see how you guys work, man. Two against one.
I've kept my mouth shut this whole time.
It's all good, man. It's all, you know, listen, me and Ben go back and forth at it. We don't see eye to eye, but I do respect him because I do think that he's a smart, intelligent individual. But the way I find facts is I go to the internet. I look for multiple sources. I look at what the source is saying. I also use what's called common sense or intuition. You know, is this make sense in the real world, or is this just like some kind of fantasy? You know what I mean? Logic comes into play when I'm reading articles. I look up people, what they're saying. Okay, I'll look at their history and see what, you know, is these people credible or they're not credible. But I definitely do not use fact checkers to go either way, because fact checkers are bullshit.
Why?
Because we do not live in a world where people need to tell us what the truth is, and there's no there is no fact checker. So that's what I'm saying. There's nobody to fact check the fact checkers. It's the you know, if we had two sides, like, okay, the fact checkers checked by this fact checker, but nobody's fact checking the fact checkers.
Yes, they are.
It's bullshit.
Yes, they are.
All right, well, let's go. Come on, I don't want to get stuck on something stupid as that. But that's what I'm saying. Fact checkers are not always right.
But and fact checkers are checked by other people.
Well, when has there ever been a fact checker known to be wrong? Never, because they're never. I mean, you're trying to tell me fact checkers are always right? Come on, bro. Nobody's always right. I'm not always right. You're not.
No, but they're usually right more times than not because they're investigating facts.
Who's signing the fact checkers' paychecks? Who do they work for? Who are they in alignment? We have no idea who these fact checkers are. So why would we go based on what they say? Do your own research. Look it up yourself. Use your own logic. Use your own intuition. Weigh the possibilities. Weigh both sides and see which one makes sense to you. I'm not telling anybody to take anything that I say as a fact, but what I'm telling you, you can go and research yourself. You can go online and research everything I just said, and you can find articles by different people, and of course you can always find opposing articles by different people, and you can come up with a conclusion yourself.
The only difference is what's falsifiable.
I don't know what's falsifiable. Like I said, I just encourage people to stop just listening to what the TV says and go and do your own research, look up stuff, ask questions. And like I said, go on the CDC website, man. Type in adverse reactions to COVID-19. See if the numbers pop up right away for you, because I did that yesterday and nothing came up for me. Ben,
but Clinton, I use that same process that you're talking about. You said do your own research, use common sense, do all that stuff. I do that. That's exactly what I do. That exact process is what I do.
I think that you're a very smart individual, and I think I respect your opinion, and I know that you a lot of times you're right. A lot of times I don't think you're right. But that's what we live in, a free country where people are free to debate these things and come up with their own conclusions. And that's what's under attack right now. There is no information being allowed out there right now by people and doctors who say, hey, we don't think these vaccines are safe, or hey, we don't think masks work. It's all under attack, under censorship right now, and there's no open forum to say, hey, this is what we have as facts, and this is what the CDC has as facts. This is what we have as our data and our research, and this is what the World Health Organization has as their data and their research. Many, many specialists and scientists have committed career suicide speaking out in this COVID-19 pandemic because they have different experiences that contradict the narrative being pushed by the television. And all you got to do is just go on. You can go online and check these things.
All right, we're getting into a totally different subject here, because I don't even agree with that premise. The ideas don't make it to the heavyweight ring. And we'll have to have another discussion about that, because I always hear like, oh, well, I'm being censored, I'm being this. And I'm like, it's complete bullshit. It just is. The ideas don't match up with reality. They're not good enough to be – bad ideas need to be kicked the fuck out. That's what happened. You can bring them up, but people are debunking them, and they've already been discussed. Now, people can always bring them up. That's what's great about science. Right? Science gives us the ability to question things and say, hey, what is it? But at the end of the day, the only thing that matters are the facts and the fucking evidence. That's it. And if someone doesn't have it, bye. Like, you're done. Like, you can dismiss shit without evidence. And half of these people do that. Now, if they have a genuine argument, then guess what? The evidence will support that. And more people will come to that conclusion because more people will fact check them. But it never gets out the gate, bro. That's what I'm trying to get. But anyways, I want you to do your closing statement and I'm going to do mine because I know we're taking up too much time here.
All right. So my closing statement, I would like to just give some people to do some digging on. Please look up Dolores Cahill. She's a PhD molecular biologist and immunologist. She has a degree in molecular genetics from Trinity College in Dublin, 1989. She has a PhD in immunology from Dublin University. She's a group leader of the Protein Technology Institute and the Max Planck Institute of Molecular Genetics. Her research and publication and patent record is high content protein antibody arrays and their biomedical applications and application include the characterization of antibodies specificity. She's a member of the editorial, science advisory, and many review boards. So please, guys, look, don't take my word for it. They say trust the science. Look up people like Dolores Cahill. She's been destroyed by basically everybody. She was asked to resign from her chair seat. She committed career suicide to tell people about the dangers of the mRNA vaccine. And if you want more information on this woman, you can look me up. My name is Clinton Gordon. I'm on Facebook. I have much more information to share with people, and I can give it to you. You can do the research. You can look at the evidence, and you can make a choice for yourself. I don't ask anybody to believe me. I'm just saying open your eyes. Don't believe everything the TV says because half of it doesn't make any sense. For example, you can walk into a restaurant. You have to have a mask on. But then when you sit down, you can take your mask off because the virus doesn't spread. Use common sense. Use logic. This doesn't make sense. Not everything is adding up here with this COVID vaccination, with this COVID lockdown. The lockdown is worse than the actual disease itself. If you look at what's going on in 5 states in America, 5 governors forced COVID positive patients back into nursing homes. This accounted for 50% of the COVID deaths in nursing homes. And Cuomo's on the hot seat. Whitmer's on the hot seat right now, and you can start seeing for yourself. This whole thing is starting to look a little bit different than what we really think it is. But don't take my word for it. Do your own research. Do not trust fact checkers. Fact check yourself. Don't just say, oh, a fact checker fact check that, and that's not true. Do your own research. Think for yourself. Be a free thinker. Don't just take my word for it. Don't take anybody's word for it. Do your own research and see what you come up with and use your own intuition, your own logic, and live your life accordingly. Don't let people tell you what to think, believe, and what you know. Know for yourself. Get your hands wet. Get your hands dirty. Go on the computer. Do your research. Look for counter arguments and all that, and then weigh it. And then see what you come up with and live your life according to that. Don't just take people's word for it, not even mine.
Right.
Thank you.
And then Ben, what'd you have, brother?
I think the problem in our world right now is that a lot of people are dealing with anxiety and a lot of fear. And when things become super complicating, they turn to easy answers for these answers and they don't understand the critical nuances with most of the stuff. And what happens is that there's this illusion that somehow you're going to get these easy answers from simple context of websites that fit your worldview most of the time. Ask yourself this. If somebody spent most of their life researching actual facts, really actually critically thinking about it as an expert in their field, who are you actually going to trust? It's the same thing if you got shot in the middle of the street. If you can make a decision between two people that are going to help you, are you going to have someone that was a actual EMT who's been certified, who actually knows what he's talking about? Or are you going to have a voodoo artist on the side who's just going to say prayers and dangle magic in front of you? Okay. You always have to evaluate where the information is coming from. Oftentimes, because things are complicated, because these issues are hard, okay, people will turn to other people that will fit a worldview that makes sense to them. It doesn't mean it's the truth. It doesn't mean that it's facts. And here, I even have my friend Clinton saying that fact checkers don't matter. Don't listen to fact checkers. Facts. I've been accused of saying that this is about my opinion and not the facts. Yet, I am making my own opinion. I am judging it by the facts. I am doing the research. I'm following people who've done a lot of research. I don't just follow just one person. I don't just follow just the news. I talk to fucking scientists. I talk to educators. I go from multiple different sources of people who have reliably in the past been able to give information that has added up and is usually correct. There's no such thing as perfection. People can always be wrong. It's okay to be wrong. But it's funny that the people that say, oh, you know, these people are wrong, fact checkers are wrong, never admit when they're actually fundamentally about wrong sometimes. They won't admit it when the facts are actually presented. And if we can't even agree on the facts, then I don't know how we're ever going to solve actual problems in the world. But if you assume that someone like me isn't doing his research, isn't talking to knowledgeable people, isn't questioning, isn't using skepticism to come to these answers in a very critical time where these problems affect people, not taking a fucking vaccine is going to affect you and your loved ones. Believing nonsensical things is going to cause harm in our society. Vaccines are safe. They are very, very safe. Go out and find the information for yourself from credible people who can explain it. And you know who that is? It's not me. It's not Clinton. It's not Robert. Talk to your doctor. Talk to your pharmacist. Talk to a medical professional who is educated in these. Everything that Clinton and I have said, take both of our stories, go to a medical professional and say, hey, look, he said this. I said this. Find out the answer from them. They're more knowledgeable than the three of us on this fucking podcast put together. And then if you really want to come up with your fucking answer, find out then. And then talk to another doctor, okay? But the majority of the people that know what the fuck they're going to talk about are going to agree with my opinions more than my opponent's opinions. It's not because he's stupid or dumb. The information he's getting from is not correct. That's all it is. He's just getting incorrect information. And you cannot not challenge the truth when it comes to that. The truth is all that matters. Bad ideas need to be thrown the fuck out, period. Masks are safe. Vaccines are safe. They're not trying to fucking control you, period.
Thanks, man. I really appreciate it. Thank you both.
Let me just say one last thing.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
We can change the world. We can change the world for the better. And we don't have to agree on the methods. There's more than one way to skin a cat. We don't all have to agree with the medical establishment to actually have effective and efficient ways to make the world better. And that's what they want you to believe. They want you to believe, like, oh, we all have to agree to this because this is the right thing. Well, maybe it's the right thing for them, but maybe it's not the right thing for everybody. And that's okay. And that we should live in a world where contradicting opinions are allowed on the public forum. And I think that Ben's statement in and of itself that any bad ideas should be thrown out is just wrong. It's just completely wrong, because how can we ever come up with better ideas if we don't have contradicting opinions and point of views?
You're opening up a whole new thing there, Clinton.
Sorry. Anyway, go ahead, Ben.
I'm just going to end it right here, but I disagree with that, obviously.
All right.
Guys, thank you so much for coming on today.
Thanks, man, and thanks, Clint, for debating me today, buddy.
Hey, good debate, man. Great debate. You're good, brother. You're good. I will give it to you.
Thank you to Ben and Clinton. Thank you to Dave Blair at DaveBlairMusic.com. Thank you to Feedspot.com for promoting the Right to Reason to the Top 10 Atheist Podcasts. Thank you to our patrons, Jason Parker, Freethinker215, Alan Marks, Philip Spawn, Bernard Lambrell, Enema Man, Larry Wilson, and our top supporter, Rob Montgomery. You can support this broadcast at patreon.com/right and learn more at therighttoreason.com. Next week, we're going to hear an episode from my guest appearance on LATV 2.0 about the value of philosophy. Spoilers, it turns into a debate about religious freedom in politics. Between now and then, remember that you have the right to reason.
This is the Right to Reason podcast.